Today's shir is Masechta B'chayrus Daf Beis, and we begin our new Masechta Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach. We now begin to learn Masechta B'chayrus, and as the name implies, Masechta B'chayrus, the subject of Masechta B'chayrus, is the Halacha B'char. And the Masechta is essentially divided into three parts, three different issues, all of course relating to B'char. One issue is the Halacha of a Petach Hamar, where the Torah teaches us that the firstborn male of a donkey has a level of Kedusha, as we will learn in our Perek Y, and that donkey either should be redeemed beseh with a sheep, v'mlai sifta, and if you don't redeem it with a sheep, v'rafta, it should be decapitated. Although this bechor of a petach hamor is redeemed with a seh, that seh doesn't have kedushas haguf. It doesn't have inherent kedusha. It's not like that seh becomes a carbon. That seh becomes the property of the kohen. The second part of the masechta, which is the biggest part of the masechta, is the halacha of a bechor behema. A behema, a kosher animal that has a bechor, that animal has to be given to the kohen. Now, if the animal has no mum, it's brought as a carbon in the Beis HaMikdash. If the animal has a mum, then it becomes the personal property of the kohen. And as I said, that is the largest section of the Masechta. And the third part of the Masechta talks about Bechor Adam, where a firstborn male son of a Jewish woman has a chiyuv pinyan haben. We have to give 5 shloim to redeem him to the kohen. Interesting to point out that we've learned, and Baruch Hashem will be learning over the next couple of months, many of the masechtas of Seder Kachim. But unfortunately, most of those masechtas, the halachas that we learned, are unfortunately not relevant to our day-to-day lives. There's no Beis HaMikdash, there's no Kabbonis. However, B'chayrus is still something that's very much part of our lives. Certainly, a Bechor Adam, but even Bechor Behema or Petach Hamar are relevant halachas, even Bezman Hazeh. We maybe don't apply them that many times because we don't really raise animals. But if somebody were to have a Bechor, whether it's a Petach Hamar or it's a Bechor Behema, they have the same halacha as when the Beis HaMikdash stood. Rashi says that the Masechta begins with the halachas of Petach Hamar, since they are the smallest and the least amount of halachas. So that's why the Masechta deals with those halachas first. Of course, as we all know, the reason why Bechairis have this Kedusha that we're going to be discussing at great length in the next couple of months is because we remember the Makas Bechairis in Mitzrayim, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu killed all the Bechairim in Mitzrayim, and we, the Jewish Bechayim, were saved, and that infused them with a level of Kedusha. And in general, the Rishayim explain that a Bechor is the firstborn, as we keep on mentioning. And similar to the concept of Bikurim, a Jew, when he Baruch Hashem is Zaycha, to have a Bechor, whether it's a Bechor Adam or a Bechor Behema, instead of taking it and using it for his own personal needs, he recognizes that it has a Kedusha. He recognizes that this comes from Hashem, which is, of course, the Hashkafa that has to permeate our lives, that everything we have really comes from Hashem. Even something which is so great as a Bechor. And that's the importance of the lesson of Bechairis. So says the Mishnah, Lakeich u'b'chamur marish lo'ev k'chavim. Somebody buys a fetus of the donkey of an Akum. Interesting to point out that the Mefarshim say that our Masechta begins with the word, with the letter Hey. And you look at the end of the Masechta, the last Mishnah, the last word is Kadosh. It ends with the letter Shin, which stands for Seh. Because we're going to be speaking a lot about a Seh. The Petach Hamar, we said, is redeemed with a Seh. And the Bechor of a Seh is considered a Bechor. And Klal Yisrael is considered Seh Pezura Yisrael, says the Pasuk, and that's why The Masechta has this word seh, enveloping it. Halari keich uber chamar shlev tekhavim. If you buy the fetus of a donkey of a goy, so since the goy is involved here, there's no dinner b'char. Actually, as we're going to learn in the Masechta, when it comes to the halacha petach amor, and I specifically emphasize to the distinction of the halacha of a regular b'char, but when we speak about the halacha of a petach amor, the same then applies by a kohen and a levi. That if a kohen or a levi are own an animal, or even partial owners, as we're going to be learning, there's no dinner petach amor. So if you buy the fetus of such a donkey owned by a goy, and as the Rishonim point out, and we will be discussing this, many Rishonim are of the opinion that you can't just buy a fetus, because a fetus is a dovah shel bala olam, and you can't buy something that doesn't yet exist. And therefore, we're speaking about a case where you bought the mother along with it, and since the mother is in the world, there's a kinyan on the fetus as well. Or if somebody sells an akum, such an animal, afa pishen rishoy, the halach is that one may not sell such an animal to a goy. And it's based on a sugya that we learned in Masechta Avodah Zarah, that you're not allowed to sell animals to an akum. Why may you not sell animals to an akum? So the Gemara says, because there's a concept, and this is the way the Rishonim help us understand this Gemara and that Gemara, because there's a concept of Shvisis Behemtoi. We're not allowed to let our animals work on Shabbos, and by selling the animal to the Akum, it's going to work on Shabbos. There's no problem if the guy owns it, so what's the issue? So one pshat is that indeed it isn't a problem. The problem is if you're selling it right before Shabbos, you're causing that animal, instead of resting, will work, and once it's close to Shabbos, it should not be working on Shabbos. Another pshat is, as it seems the Gemara teaches us in Masechta Avodah Zarah, if you're going to sell the animal to the Akum, which is no issue of Shvisas Behemtoi, you may come to rent the animal to the Akum. And a Jewish animal owned by a Jew may not work on Shabbos. Another concern the Gemara expresses is the concern that maybe you're going to sell the animal right before Shabbos. And the guy is going to want to see, is this animal really a healthy animal? And you're going to tell the animal to come towards you while it's carrying something, and that involves a malacha deraisa of mechamer. That's the way Rashi amplified learns Pishan in the Gemara. Others say that it's a much simpler concern. An animal, when it's owned by a Jew, has a level of kedusha. As we're learning, its children will be a bechor. When it's owned by a goy, it loses that level of kedusha. So the Mefarshim obviously asked the question, if, as the Mishnah says, you're not allowed to sell an animal to an akum, why is the halacha that the sale is a valid sale? The fact that you're not allowed to do this should nullify the sale. So one pshat that I saw is that the only time Chazal nullify a sale is when the sale's usur is prohibited both to the seller and to the buyer. Here, the Jew is indeed not allowed to sell it, but there's no rules on akum. And then, since both parties aren't doing an aveira, the sale is not invalidated. Another pshat that I saw is that there are two reasons a sale, the two types of categories of why a sale should be invalidated. One type of situation is where the sale is financially incorrect. Sometimes there's nothing wrong from a financial perspective. There's another perspective, like I just explained. The only time Chazal invalidates sales are sales that are financially improper. When it's not a financial issue, they don't invalidate it. Continues the Mishnah, Hamishtat Tefloi, if somebody becomes a partner with an Akum and a Behemah, Vamakabel Himenu. Hamakabel Himenu means that an Akum has animals, and the Jew gets the animal, and the deal that they have is that the children of that animal, they will divide, or Hanoisen Loi Bekabola, or vice versa, the Jew owns the animal, and he gives it to the Akum to raise, and they'll share in the children. And all of these situations, Patam and Mechaira. Shnemar, for the Torah Akdosha says, the Yisrael, only when it's completely owned by a Jew, is there a din of Petach Amor, of Loi Bacherim, not when there are non-Jews involved. Ask the Gemara. Obviously, the point of our mission is to teach us that you're not allowed to, that an animal that has non-Jewish ownership has no din of Petach Hamor. So ask the Gemara, call Hani Lomeli. Why does the Mishnah have to give us so many examples of the same concept? Answers the Gemara Tzrichi. Ditarim Lekeach, if we only would have mentioned the case of Lekeach, have mina the Kamaisa Lekedusha. On the contrary, you're doing something good. This animal till now was owned by a non-Jew, and now a Jew is coming to own it. And here too we have a machlokes. What does it mean? Rashi says, so now the animal will be Shai Mishabes. Others say that the animal will now have children, that there will be a Chiyah B'chayra. Ava Moicha, so certainly there's no reason to penalize this individual. Ava Moicha, the Kamafkalim Kedusha, as we explained, he's diminishing the Kedusha by selling it to the Goy. Ema Likna say, we should perhaps give him a Knas, Kamashmalon. So Rashi and Taisus seem to have very different approaches on how to learn this Gemara, and they're very relevant la'loch l'maisa. Rashi's approach is that when you sell the animal, maybe you should have been, when you buy the animal, maybe you should have been penalized, but Chazal decided not to you. When you sell it, certainly you should be penalized, yet the halacha is that you're not. Taisa says he doesn't understand what Rashi is saying. Why, if you buy an animal from Akum, ought you to be penalized? You did the right thing, as the Gemara said. So the Mefarshim suggest that perhaps there's a very fundamental question that Rashi and Taisus are dealing with here. And it could come up la'loch l'maisa. Somebody wants to buy an animal. He needs an animal. He wants to buy an animal. He could buy it from Akum, or he could buy it from a Jew. Does he have a reason? Whom should he buy it from? Tyson's opinion is, you can buy it from anyone. Not only can you buy it from anyone, there may be a reason to buy it from the Akum. Because as the Gemara teaches us, when you're buying that animal from the Akum, it's going to be Shomer Shabbos now. Its children are going to be Bechayrim. Rashi says, no. There is indeed maybe a reason that somebody who buys an animal from an Akum actually ought to be penalized. Because why'd you buy it from the Akum? Why'd you buy it from a Jew? The Torah says, V'chayachichi imach. You should preferably buy something from a Jew. Yet, teaches us the Gemara, according to Rashi's approach, that because there's another side to this issue, that now you're bringing the Kedusha, that's why Chazal decided not to penalize you. And it's interesting that I saw from Rabbi Eliyashiv, his son-in-law Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein quotes it, that indeed if somebody has such a shayla la'loch l'maisa, that he needs to buy an animal and he has an option, should he buy it from an Akum, should he buy it from a Jew? He should preferably buy it from a Jew. Why? Because the chiv of the chayachichi imach, of supporting our fellow Jew, is a chiv deraisa. But then there's another issue to think about as we learn this Gemara. The Gemara is teaching us that when we buy an animal from an Akum, we're accomplishing that the animal is going to be Shomer Shabbos. We're going to be able to do the mitzvah of Shvisis Behemtai. Which opens up an interesting question. We know that there are two types of mitzvahs. There's a mitzvah chiyuvis, and there's a mitzvah chiyumis. A mitzvah chiyumis is a mitzvah that we have to do. You have to put on tefillin every day. You have to take dalad minim on sukkahs. You have to blow shofar in Rosh Hashanah. A mitzvah chiyumis is if the circumstances come up, you have to follow them. If you buy a house, you have to put up a mezuzah. If you have a house with a roof, you have to put up a gate. So the question that the Paiskim discuss, is there a point of trying to put yourself into a situation where you'll be obligated to do a mitzvah kiyumis? This Gemara is a perfect example. Is there a point to specifically buy an animal in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Shmir Shabbos? According to Rashi, it seems that there is. Because Rashi says, you bring in the Kedusha, that you'll be able to do Shvisas Behemtai. Taisus, who learns a different approach, that you'll have Bechayrim, I don't know if Taisus agrees with Rashi. And we think about this question, I'm not sure anybody's about to buy a cow to fulfill this mitzvah. We don't really work that much with animals. But the question does come up annually. Where does it come up annually? It's Erev Pesach. So most people are quite careful that already a couple of days before Pesach, there's no chametz in their home. And now it's Erev Pesach. Is there specifically an issue to buy chametz or leave over chametz in order that you should do the mitzvah tashbisu on Erev Pesach, to destroy the chametz? And many people have the minig, and that's part of the reason why people have the minig of putting out the 10 pieces of bread on Arab, by Bedikas Chametz, that they purposely leave bread or buy bread to do this mitzvah. The tashbisu is not a mitzvah chiyuvis. What's the din of tashbisu? If you have chametz, you have to destroy it. So we see that there is a point in trying to bring yourself to do a mitzvah chiyuvis. The mishtatav lomeli. Why does the mishtatav so have to mention the case that even if you're a partner, when akum, there is no chiyuv b'chayra? Answers the Gemara, lafukim et Rabbi Yehuda. To teach us that our Mishnah doesn't follow the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, who we're going to analyze extensively, Dama, who his opinion is, shutvus ayvik echavim chayevis b'chayra. His opinion is that if you have an akum, a shutv, an animal, you are chayev b'chayra. Kamashmalan teaches us our Mishnah that the Rabbanon hold the peturim b'chayra. V'makabal amali, why does the Mishnah have to teach us the din that if somebody takes the animal of an akum to raise and keep half the children, there's no chiyuv b'chayra? Answer the Gemara, this case for itself brings no chiddush. However, b'shem the kabbayi l'misnei, because the Mishnah now wants to teach us the case, v'noisen loy, the Kabbalah, the next case, where you gave your animal to the akum, that the halacha is, and you shear the children, that there's no chiyuv b'chayra, that's why this case was mentioned as well. Ask the Gemara, and why does that case have to be mentioned? Why did our Mishnah have to specify the case where you gave the animal to the Akum to raise, and you're shearing the children that there's no chi b'chayra? Answers the Gemara, Itzrich. The Mishnah had to mention it. In this case, who really owns the animal? The Jew. So in this case, even though the Rabbanan normally hold that when an Akum is involved, there's no chi of a petachamor, but in this case, since it's so very similar to when the Jew owns the animal, because he has full ownership of the mother, is just giving it to be raised by the Akum, let us say maybe the Rabbanan will also agree that he should have to give it, he should have to give to the Akum the Bechor. And here we have a Machlokes Rishonim, what does the Gemara mean when it says that you should give the Akum the Bechor? Does the Gemara mean to give the actual animal to the Kayin, or does the Gemara mean to give the value of the animal to the Kayin? Let the say, they should have to give something to the Kayin, for we should be concerned, you may come not to give the Kayin the real case where he's mechuyiv to, k'mashmon, the Chazal weren't concerned about that, and there's no dinner petach amar in this case as well. Continues the Gemara. Tanan Hosam. The Mishnah in Masechta Avodah Zarah teaches us, as we said a few moments ago, that we're now allowed to sell Behemoth Tan Akum. But teaches us the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Mata Bishvur. Rabbi Yehuda says that if the animal is a wounded animal, and as we're going to learn, and therefore there's no concern that you're going to do work with this animal, because it's unable to work, so the problem of Shvisas Behemtoi doesn't kick in, Rehuda says such an animal can be sold to an Akum. Ben Beseira, Matabasus. Why does he allow a horse to be sold? Because, as we learned in Masechta Shabbos, there's a concept of Chai Noises Atzmai. A living thing carries itself. So what are horses used for? Horses are used for people to ride on them. And since the horse isn't carrying the person himself, the person is also helping himself be carried. Therefore, it's not considered that the horse is doing Chilul Shabbos, Shvisas Behemtoi, and therefore Ben Beseira says you could sell a horse to an Akum. Actually, the Rishonim point out that Ben Beseira's opinion, everybody agrees with, that when the horse is being ridden by a person on it, everybody would agree there's no problem. Chai Noses Atzmai. The question is if you put birds, live birds, on an animal, on a horse, but Maseir still applies the concept of Chai Noisitz Atzmai, the living birds. Rabbanim say it's only by people we say Chai Noisitz Atzmai, not by birds. So the question that the Rishonim ask is, we mentioned earlier in our shir that when you sell something to an Akum, the Gemara Masechta Avodah Zarah tells us there's a concern that the Akum may want you to test it. And if you're going to test it, you may test it right before right as Shabbos begins, and involve Chilul Shabbos. So why over here don't we have that concern? The answer is that if horses aren't used for transporting items, only people, so there's no reason for the Seder to be worried about a test either. But then I saw that Reb Chaim Brisker asked a very interesting question. Absolutely, according to Ben Becerra, if a person is riding on an animal, so we have the concept of Chai Noises Atzmai, and it's not considered that the animal worked on Shabbos. And if the person is wearing clothing, the clothing are bottled to the person. What happens if somebody has, which is usually the case, somebody has something in his pockets? So now the animal is not just transporting the person. He's also transporting whatever I have in my pockets. So there's no Chai Noises Atzmai in whatever I'm carrying in my pocket. So why is Ben Becerra matter and say there's no Chil Shabbos when somebody rides an animal? So the Brisker Rav says that this would fall into the category of Shnayim Shesua. Since I'm carrying something in my packet, and the animal is carrying me, so it's considered as if I and the animal together are carrying this item, not me myself, nor the animal itself. And we know from the beginning of Masechet Shabbos that Shnayim Shesua is not considered Mechil Shabbos. So again, Tanan also in the Mishnah says Masechet Avodah Zarah, Rehuda Mata B'Shvura, he says you could sell an animal, to a guy that's wounded, but Masechet Mata B'Sus. Ask the Gemara, Ta Ibaluhu. Now ask the Gemara, Uber Mahu, Mali, I'm Rabbi Yehuda. What will be Rabbi Yehuda's opinion about selling a fetus to Nakam? And the Gemara analyzes its question. Tam Rabbi Yehuda Hasum the Shari. Why is Rabbi Yehuda lenient over there? Mishum the Shvura. It's unable to work. So says the Gemara, Uber Namishvuruhu. And Uber is also unable to work. Odom, or perhaps the way to understand it, Shvura lav hainu urche. Usually animals are healthy, Baruch Hashem. Aval Uber, kiva de hainu urche. First it's the fetus, and then it will be developed into a full-fledged animal. Lav shavuhu. It's not in the category of a shover, and Rabbi Yehuda will agree it may not be sold to an akum. Toshma, so the Gemara says, let's bring a raya from our Mishnah. Because our Mishnah said, Hamoichaloi, that if somebody sells a fetus, and our Mishnah said, Afa Pishen Rishoi, even though you're not allowed to, still, there's no dinner petach hamor. But our Mishnah doesn't say, V'roi Polig Rabbi Yehuda. Our Mishnah doesn't say Rabbi Yehuda will say that you're allowed to sell an akum, an Uber. Why? Because obviously Rabbi Yehuda agrees that you may not sell an akum, an Uber. Says the Gemara, that's not a raya. Well, tameich, let's think about our Mishnah. The Mishnah said, "Hamishtatifloi, v'amekabel mimenu, v'noisim lebekabola." The like Tani, where the Mishnah doesn't mention Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Hachanami de leipolig, is it true Rabbi Yehuda doesn't agree? It's not true. For as we were going to learn, Rabbi Yehuda holds that if an akum is a shutif, there's still a chiva petachamor. Just how do we understand our Mishnah? Elapolig. Even though Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with these halachas, like Tani, our Mishnah is only mentioning the opinion of the Rabbanon and not the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Achnami, so too, in this halacha, it may well be that Rabbi Yehuda indeed holds, you're allowed to sell an Uber Tanakam. Palik, he argues with the Rabbanon. But like Tani, he just doesn't bother mentioning his opinion. He's going to hold you allowed to sell a Tanakam. Toshma, so we still have this question. What is Rabbi Yehuda's opinion regarding selling an akum, a Uber, Toshma, Rehuda Aymer, Hamakabu Behemah Manavik Chavim, if a Jew gets a behemah from an akum, again, it's the akum's behemah and the Jew raises it and they share the children, the Yalda, and it has a Bechor, Mal Aysa Beshavya, we assess its value, the Naisin Chati Dama V'Kayim, and half of it goes to the Kayim. So as the Brisker Rav explains, even Rabbi Yehuda, who clearly holds, as I said, and now we see it better, that just because an akum has a shear here, there's still a chiyah b'chayra, does not hold that it has the same din of b'char as a b'char that's born by a Jew. And it doesn't have kedushas haguf, that the kayin, that should be brought as a carbon. It has only kedushas stomach. One point. Another point that the Mefarshim make is that why does the kohen get half the value? The kohen should get half the animal. So Mefarshim explained, we don't want to force the kohen, who's going to be the kohen's partner? The akum. We don't want to force the kohen to have to be in a situation where he's a partner with akum, as we're going to see, it comes with real issues. And that's why Chazal said, give him half the value, not half the animal. Here we have the other situation, where a Jew gave an akum, a behema, to raise. And again, here our loch is, you shouldn't be doing that, for all the reasons that we gave. Chazal said that we forced the Jew to buy back that animal from the akum, out of Sar Bedomov, even if he has to pay 10 times its value, and we'll discuss this more in tomorrow's shir, for nice called Damal Kayan, and the Kayan gets that entire amount of money. There is, Taisus makes the point that this halacha only applies by Behema Gasa, where there's the issue of Shvisas Behemta, because Behema Gasas were used for work. By Behema Daka, which wasn't used for work, the bottom Taisus Adamit said that this halacha wouldn't apply. There's also a question amongst the Mefarshim. When we do this assessment of the value, how do we do the assessment? Do we do it according to the value you paid, or do you do it according to the current value? But now makes the Mar's point. My love, aren't we here speaking about the Uber? And yet, what is Rabbi Yehuda saying? That you shouldn't have sold that Uber to the Kayim, to the Akum, and if you did, you're being penalized that you have to buy it back and give the Kayim. So you see that Rabbi Yehuda clearly holds it. You're not allowed to sell an Uber to Akum. It says, Marloi, Abahema. Rabbi Yehuda's not talking about the Uber, he's talking about the mother, which certainly is here and as well. Ask the Gemara, but let's look at the words of the Braisa. V'adamav k'tani. The Braisa used the Lashon Zohar. And in Hebrew, a Behema is Lashon Akeva. A Uber is Lashon Zohar. So isn't that an indication that we're talking about the Uber? It says, Martani Demel. Actually, the right word of the Braisa should have been Demel. But ask the Gemara, V'adamav k'tani. What does the Braisa say? That now you redeem it and give it to the Kayin. V'behema. And we're talking about the mother, not the baby. Kain my avidite. Why does the kain deserve anything? The kain only deserves a bechor, but he doesn't deserve the mother. Therefore, says the Gemara, my skinen. What is the case of that braisa? Kigoy the yavle behem mabart leptuma. You gave the mother, who's pregnant, to an akum to raise. That clearly, Rabbi Huda holds its usher, because the mother, who's a healthy mother, should not have been given to the akum. So says Rabbi Yehuda, the miga the kansimle behema, since you did the wrong thing by giving the mother to the akum for raising, kansimle uber, that's why Chazal said that the uber born from that animal you have to redeem, even for much more than its value, and give that money to the kohen. But in a situation where you only sold the uber itself, we don't know yet what Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is. Aravashi, Tashma, let's learn from the following braisa. Rehuda mata b'shvura. Rehuda says you're allowed to sell a wounded animal to Akum, but mesh any achayros rapis, because it's hopeless. What does this braisa clearly indicate? Hoy achayros rapis. If the wounded animal could get better, then Rehuda would agree that usur it may not be sold to Akum. Now let's think about an uber. V'ho uber nami k'yachalos rapis tami. Every uber, as we said before, is going to develop in a full-fledged healthy animal. Clearly, Rabbi Yehuda holds that you may not sell it to the Akum. Shema mina. The Gemara, for the next couple of lines, is going to actually be a repetition of the Gemara that we just learned. There's only one difference. In this piece of Gemara that we just learned, the Gemara asked an independent question. What is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda regarding selling an Uber to an Akum? Now the Gemara connects it to our Mishnah. But the exact same shak levitarya. So it goes very quickly, Be'ezer Hashem. Vikad Masalei Misnisen. Some say that this back and forth was regarding a Mishnah. The Mishnah said, V'amoychaloi, that if you sell an Akam and Behema, Abishen Rishoi, even you haven't done the right thing, the halach is that the Rabbanon holders no chi petach amor. Suggest the Gemara, Olay Masnisen to like Rabbi Yehuda. It seems that our Mishnah doesn't follow the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. The Tanan, for the Mishnah says, Masechta Avodah Zarah, Rabbi Yehuda Mat B'Shvur allows you to sell a wounded animal to an Akum. So, if you could sell a wounded animal, shouldn't you be able to sell Uber as well? Both of them you can't work with. Answers the Gemara, no. I feel tame Rabbi Yehuda. Our Mishnah can be following Rabbi Yehuda in this regard. Because Shvura, an animal that's wounded, Laiv Haina Urche, a sick animal, is not usually what's sold. So it's a milsad lo shchicha, milsad lo shchicha, le gosibra abonon, uber, haino uruchi. Uber is normal, and that's why it may not be sold to Nakum. Toshma, Rav Yehuda Aymer, we learned that the Braisa says, Rav Yehuda says, a makabel behem menevik chavim, if somebody receives from an akum an animal to raise, and they share the children. The Yolden and has a Bechor, Mal Noisoy Beshavyo, we assess that Bechor's value, the Noisin Chatzidom Lekoin, and half of that value should be given to the Koin, the Jewish half. By Noisin Labi Kabbalah, if somebody gives an Akum, a behemoth to raise, Al Beshen Rishoy, and they're going to share the children, even though he's done the wrong thing, Koin Tsunaisoy Asar Bedomov, we make him redeem it for even 10 times its value, the Noisin Kaldom Lekoin, he has to give that entire amount to the Koin. My love, are we not referring to the Uber? And clearly here we see that Yehuda holds that you're now allowed to sell an Uber to Nakum. Says the Gemara, it's talking about the animal, the mother, not the Uber. Ask the Gemara, Vadamov Ktani. And the word Damov speaks to the Uber, the Lashon Zohar, not to the mother. Answer the Gemara, Tani Damal. Ask the Gemara, but what did the Braisa just tell us we should do with that money that we receive? The Braisa said that when we get that money, we give it to the Kayin. Ask the Gemara, Vibahema, if we're talking about the mother, Kayin Amaya Vidita. Why does the Kayin deserve it? Says the Gemara, Hachmai Skinen. That Braisa is referring to going to Yah Behema Ma'abarat Laptuma. He gave a pregnant mother to the Akum to raise, which certainly Rabbi Yehuda will agree is wrong. The Migad Kansinlay Behema, since he did the wrong thing on the mother, Kansinlay Uber, we also penalize him about the Uber as well. But we don't know what will be Rabbi Huda's opinion if we're only speaking about an Uber. Amr Vashi, so the Gemara continues. Toshma, Rabbi Huda Mat Bishvura, Nesh Eni Yochel Lesrapis. Why do Rabbi Huda holds you could sell a sick animal to an Akum? Because it's not going to be used for work. Ha! Yochelus Rapis, if it could be used for work, also, he would agree that you may not sell it to an Akum. For hi, and this Uber, Namiki Yochelus Rapis Tami, Shmamino, the Gemara clearly says that we see for Rabbi Yehuda will agree that an Uber, even though a Shvura may be sold to an Akum, an Uber may not be sold. Ask the Gemara, Ibarluhu. So now the Gemara asks a different question. Mocha Behema Lubera. The animal was sold with, not that the animal itself should be the akums, but the ultimate fetuses that will be conceived should become the akums. My, is that permissible or not? And the Gemara says that actually this question is to Baal Rabbi Yehuda, is a question according to Rabbi Yehuda, based on his opinions, and to Baal Rabbanan, it's a question according to Rabban. The Gemara explains. To buy Rabbi Yehuda, it's a question even according to Rabbi Yehuda, because at Kan Lashar Rabbi Yehuda, where did Rabbi Yehuda take this lenient opinion? El Bishvura. By a sick animal, everybody sees the animal sick. And therefore, if they see you selling, they see the Jew selling to the Akum, the sick animal, they're not going to come to make the mistake that you could sell him a healthy animal. To Lashi Lachlufe. Avil Shlema, here you're giving the Akum a healthy animal. It's just you don't mean to give him the animal. You only mean that he should get the children. The Asilach Lufi, that now is a real concern that if this will be allowed, you may come to sell a healthy animal to an Akum. Rabbi Huda will agree it's Asr. Adama, Umashvura, the Paskmine. When I sell a sick animal to an Akum, it leaves my Rishus and it goes to his Rishus. And it's Asr, Koshken Shlema. When I only give my animal to the Akum to raise, and he'll get the babies, but not the mother, so I still have ownership in this animal, and therefore there's even a greater concern of the Shmir Shabbos of this animal. Therefore, Rabbi Yehuda will agree, it's Asr. Says the Gemara further, to Baal Rabbanim, the same, this question that we're discussing, may one sell an animal to an Akum just for the fetuses that ultimately will emerge, is a question even according to Rabbanan. For Atkan Lakas Rabbanan al Bishvura, when did Rabbanan say you're now allowed to sell a sick animal? The Paskmanay. I don't have any more connection to it. So I shouldn't be taking, as we learned on Amar Aleph, an animal from the Kedusha of being by Yisrael to the Akum. Av Shlem, which I'm not removing it from the Kedusha. Like Paskim and A, Sharu, I'm not removing it from the Kedusha. A Duma, or one can argue, or Mashvud, like Osla Chlufe. Why? Because everybody realizes that this is a sick animal, and there's no issue of Shmir Shabbos. Yet, do I better hold Asri, Koshken, Shlema, that if I'm going to give the Akum this healthy animal, the Osla Chlufe may come some, a perfectly healthy animal, which the Mishnah Masechta Avodah Zarah tells us is awesome. Ask the Gemara, V'tanya Rabbanim Shemachi, is the concern of the Rabbanim Achlufei? V'tanya. The Gemara says in Masechta Avodah Zarah that Rabbanim told Rabbi Yehuda. When Rabbi Yehuda told them that his opinion is that you're allowed to sell a sick animal, V'lam Rabbin Alevi Yeledis, that why are you allowed to sell a sick animal? The person is going to hold on to that animal, to have that sick animal, to have children. Alma, so we see that Rabbanan are concerned about having children. So how can we have a question that if I'm selling an animal for its children, the Rabbanan should hold its mutter? Rabbanan clearly are concerned about the children. Says the Gemara, Hach Kamalei. This is the way to understand that dialogue between Rabbanan and Rabbi Yehuda. The Rabbanan say to Rabbi Yehuda, Tam didon, why do we hold the Yanala to sell a behemoth and akum? Meshum the Asya Lachlufi, for we are concerned for a mix-up. Meshum the Asya Lachlufi Behema, if you're going to sell a Shvura, you may sell a healthy. If you sell, and therefore a Shvura should not be sold either. El at my Tamasharis, but they say to you, why do you allow the Shvura to be sold? Meshum the Ena Yachalis Rapis, since it can't be healed, command the Zavnid Lashchita Dami. You have nothing to worry about that people are going to see that I sold my animal to the Akum. Why don't we have to be worried that people are going to see that I sold my animal to the Akum? Because people aren't going to see anything. You get this animal, he's going to kill it. The Akum's going to kill it right away. He can't work with it. Says the Yehuda, says the Rabban to Yehuda, what makes you say they're going to kill it right away? He's not necessarily going to kill it right away. He's going to hold on to it, that it should mate and have children. The key in the Bina Levi Yeledis, Mashalu. So the Akum is going to hold on to it. And every moment that he holds on to it, say to Rabbanan Rabbi Yehuda, you ought to be concerned that people will come to think that you're allowed to sell Behemoth and Akum. Vamaluhu. So Rabbi Yehuda says, your concern to Rabbanan is not well placed. Lechashatelid. It's not going to happen. Because a sick animal can't be used for work, and a sick animal is too sick to allow itself to be mated. The Loi Mekabel HaZachar. So we're still where we're up to. We don't know what Rabbi Yehuda or the Rabbanim will hold in a situation where I sold an animal to the Akum. I didn't sell the animal. I only sold future children. Is it permitted or not? Tashma. V'noshlam b'ktani. The Mishnah spoke about the case if somebody gives his animal to the Akum to be raised and they'll share the children. Now, when the Mishnah spoke about that case, the last case of our Mishnah, the Mishnah did not comment, V'loik Tani Apishen Rishoy. The Mishnah didn't comment that you may not do it. And if the halach is that you're not allowed to do it, the Mishnah should have said it. So, that isn't a compelling proof. Because let's learn our Mishnah. L'tameich. Our Mishnah spoke about the Mishtatafloi. That if somebody becomes a partner with an Akum, V'loik Tani. And the Mishnah, again, there didn't say that it's prohibited. Hachanami the Rishoy, would one think that you could become a partner with Akum? V'amar avu the Shmuel, osl adam shi'as ha'shut v'samav k'chavim. A person is not to become a partner with Akum. Why? Shem yischayv l'shvur, where they may end up in a situation where they'll have a dispute, and the Akum will have to make a shvur, and when the Akum makes the shvur, v'nishbala b'shem avayis k'chavim shaloi, the Akum is going to use the name of his avayda zara, that Torah Amar, so the Mishnah spoke about Mishtatif, and it didn't say any Rishoy, even though it's clearly Asr. Ella, why didn't it say it? Because Tana Mechira, the real place where there's an Isser is regarding selling an animal, as Rashi and Tosfos explain. And Ruad Din L'Shutfos. So even though Shutfos is Asr, the Mishnah mentions the Isser in the main situation of Mechira. Achanami, here too, Tana Mechira, Ruah Din LeKablonis. Ask the Gemara, so if Kablonis is Osir, and if Shutfus is Osir, Maishna Mechira, why did the Mishnah choose to teach us the Ein Rishoi specifically on the case of Mechira? The Maishna Mechira the Nakut, why did the Mishnah choose to say the Din of Ein Rishoi by Mechira? The Ikka Mechira, the Ikka Is by Mechira, and that's why the Mishnah chose to teach us the words of Ein Rishoi there, but it could be Ein Rishoi applies to all cases. So, the fact that the Mishnah did not say Ein Rishoi in the last case of the Mishnah is not a raya that the Rabbanah hold its mutter, and it's not a raya that the Rabbanah hold its asr. And we don't know what the Rabbanah or Rabbi Yehuda hold regarding selling an animal. Well, you're not selling the animal, you're only selling the future fetuses. But Al Gemara here just taught us a very important halacha. The one may not become a partner with an akum, because he may cause him to swear in the name of his avodah zarah. So, the first question, the many questions to discuss. The first question is that why is the Gemara only focused on my issue, that lo yishama al picha, that I'm causing that the shame avodah zarah should be mentioned, and akum is also not allowed to worship avodah zarah. So why are we now worried about lifnei iver of the akum, that he's going to do the wrong thing? So some explain that there is no din of lifnei iver by an akum. And it really is based on a very famous question which we've discussed. How do we look at lifnei iver? Do we look at lifnei iver? There's an aveira, and every aveira has attached to it the concern of lifnei iver. Well, lifnei iver is an independent aveira. So if we learn lifnei iver is an independent issue, lifnei iver wasn't said to akum. Another reason why there's no concern of lifnei iver here is because it's not for sure that akum's going to do it. I'm not telling the akum to swear by the avodah zarah. And when I enter into the partnership, there's certainly no reason to believe that we're going to have a dispute. Lifnei iver is only as I cause you to do an avera. I feed you what you're not allowed to eat. Here, when we enter into partnership, there's no avera happening. But still, there's a din of lo yishama al picha that I shouldn't cause that a name of avodah zarah should not be said. So, the question is, so how do we have Jews that are partners with Akum? So Rebbeinu Tam in Tosfos already discusses it. It goes back to Tosfos. Rebbeinu Tam says that we're make, that the minig is that we do become partners with Akum. And there's two ways of understanding the opinion of Rebbeinu Tam. One way of understanding the opinion of Rebbeinu Tam is that the entire Isser of Lo Yishama Apicha is only a Durabodon, and therefore we're more lenient. And there are more quotes for Rebbeinu Tam La Halacha, that the entire Issa is only an Issa Durabodon. Another way that the Rishonim explain the opinion of Rebbeinu Tam is that the Akum Bezman Hazeh don't only worship Avodah Zarah. They certainly believe in God. Their only issue is they believe in Shituf, that there isn't a God alone, so to speak, he has associates. And Rebbeinu Tam's opinion is that Shituf is Osir for a Jew, but Shituf is not Osir for an Akum. And therefore, even if the Akum swears, there is no issue. The entire issue is that I shouldn't cause him to swear. But that opens another question. The halacha is that a Jew is not allowed to do anything, a Jew who has to give away all his money, not to do an Aveira. So here, how could I enter into a business where the shame of avodah zarah is going to be mentioned? So again, if we say it's entirely only Nisa Drabbanan, it's not just a strong question. But others say, when is a Jew supposed to sacrifice anything not to do an Aveira? When he will be doing the Aveira. Here he's not doing the Aveira, the Akum's doing the Aveira, that rule doesn't apply. So then I saw the Mefarshim ask, we find in the Torah, Avram made a deal with Avimelech. And Tishka Lila Nechti, Lanini Nechti, that we're not going to have any quarrel. How could he swear? There, they were over there by the Zara. So the first man, so look at the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Anoichi Yishaveya. Avram entered into a deal with Avimelech, that if they ever have a dispute, Avimelech won't have to swear, Avram will swear. Same question I saw the Mefarshim ask. Yaakov told Esav that he should swear to him when he sold the Bechaira. So again, the question is, Esav was Oved Avodah Zarah. How did Yaakov let him swear? So Mefarshim say, you look at the words of the Pasuk. What did Yaakov say to Esav? Hishava li kiyom azeh. Why do you have to use the word li? Hishava kiyom azeh. Yaakov told Esav, swear li. Swear to my God. Chas v'shalom, don't mention your God. But it's also important to mention as we end our shir that this entire issue of swearing is something that one should avoid. The Machzav Avram quotes a fantastic story. He says, the Chavistas was once riding in a wagon with a number of people. And one of the people in the wagon lost his wallet. And they immediately accused the Chavistas that he was the one that stole that wallet. And they came to the next town and they came to the Rav. And the Rav told the and the wealthy person brought the Chavistas. And he told the Chavistas, obviously he felt there was halachic grounds, that you have to swear that you didn't take the wallet. So the Chavistas tells this wealthy person, I'm willing to give you half of what you had, half the amount of money you had. How much money did you have in the wallet? Don't whatever number. I'm willing to give you half that number, just not make me swear. So he said, no. On the contrary, he said, that's a proof that you have something to hide. Chavistas thought a little more, and he said that it was, I'm willing to give you 3/4. No, I want you to swear or give me my money. So Chavistas says, I'm going to swear. And he went off into the corner before he was going to swear and cried. So the Rav immediately noticed that we're dealing with a great individual. They didn't know it was the Chavistas. So he forced him to say who he was. And while they're having this back and forth, one of the people who was there in that wagon fainted. And ultimately they revived him and he admitted that he had stolen the money. So the Rav asked the Chavistas, if you knew that you weren't the one that stole, so why didn't you want to swear? And if you didn't want to swear, what was pshat that you were willing to give half your money and then 3/4 of the money? What's going on here? So the Chavistas said, a Jew is supposed to do everything not to swear. And that's why I was ready to give money, not to swear. But I knew how much money I have in my entire world. So I knew 3/4 of the money that the person has, that much money I have. Oh, I wasn't prepared to go collect stock to pay him or to mortgage myself to pay him. But I wanted to do everything to avoid a shvuah. A Jew is supposed to avoid a shvuah, even a shvuah's emes.